Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Alrighty, folks. Before we dive into this episode, we've got to give a shout out to our amazing sponsor, Peak Productions.
Nothing like the sound of crisp quality. And speaking of quality, Peak Productions deliver top-notch videography to elevate your business social media game.
Absolutely. They create videos that not only look fantastic, but also drive real engagement from promos to storytelling. Peak Productions has the magic touch.
So, if you want to stand out online, hit up Peak Productions. Trust us, you'll love it, the results, just as much as I love this beer.
Yeah, check them out at www.peakproductions.com.au or check out their socials and let them take your brand to the next level.
I want to thank me. I want to thank me for believing in me. I want to thank me for doing all this hard work. I want to thank me for having no days off. I want to thank me for never quitting. I want to thank me for always being a giver and trying to give more than I receive. I want to thank me for trying to do more right than wrong. I want to thank me for just being me at all times. Snoop Dogg, you a bad motherfucker, girl.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Lads Podcast. I'm Barney. To my left is Stiffy. How are you, brother?
Fucking awesome, Barney.
Good,
how
mate?
You going,
You're
bros?
Good? I'm really good, mate.
That's
really good.
Hey, so we got a couple of guests in the house.
We certainly do. Would you like to introduce them?
I will. So, everyone, I want you to put your hands together and give a massive welcome to Will and Kaya. Did I get that right?
Yeah,
yes,
you did.
I did.
Kyle, aka Miss Throttle.
Miss Throttle.
On Instagram.
Anyone out there, jump onto Instagram, miss.throttle.
That's right.
On Instagram. Check out Kyle. This story, I can't wait to get into your story because I think it's amazing. I'm a motorcycle enthusiast, so is Barney.
Yep.
Part of the Lads Podcast is all about lifestyle, adventure and daily stories. And we want to involve everyone around that has an awesome story or lifestyle. And yours is amazing. So tell us all a bit about a quick little overview of, Miss.Throttle or the Instagram of building Harley Davidsons.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where we're at now. And honestly, when people say living the dream, we're actually there. So thank God for that. But I was that little kid when my old man had all of his biker friends coming around for beers on a Friday night in the shed. And I'd be sitting around listening to them talk, watching the Harleys roll in.
Yep.
Bearing in mind, it was all Evos, shovel heads, and they were all bombed to the eyeballs back in the day. I was the kid that fell in love with the sound of a Harley Davidson.
Yeah, right.
So my dad, he has built bikes for the longest time. He often recalls the story of when I was a baby, he would be passing me between him and his friend while they were building bikes. So it's in my blood. Yeah. It's all I've ever known.
Yeah, so it wasn't hold the 10 mil spinner, here, hold the baby.
Yeah, it was.
Love it.
And one of our famous saying here at the Lads Podcast is get out of your head. And the best place to get out of your head is in the shed.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one of our saying is, get out of the head and get down into the shed. So your old boy, what's his name?
Ernie,
he had that already back in how old is he? 1960s and the 70s?
Yeah.
He was already doing the get out of your head, get in the shovel. God, I got shovel, panheads and all that sort of stuff.
He lives and breathes the shed culture. He played in rock bands back in the 90s and 80s as well too. So we lived and breathed the culture of everything that you expect Harley Davidson to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Hey, before we get too much further, Barney, we forgot to do something very important.
We've got to have a beer.
We've got to crack off.
We've got to crack the beer. So we have a bit of a crack off. So don't crack that yet, Will.
Yeah, don't crack that. I'm going to.
So you go.
Well, we're going to open up the fridge.
Yeah, do it.
All right, so I'm done.
What are we drinking first?
Oh,
come on, mate.
Really? Yeah, because we normally drink beer. Well, we don't normally drink beer. We drink everything.
But we've got Jack Daniel's No. 7 American Serve.
Is this your favorite drink?
It's definitely one of my drinks of choice. It's you know, how many standard drinks in this can?
It's two
standard drinks in a 250 ml can.
So this is just like a little hand grenade. It's going to whoop your ass.
Kick your ass.
All right, I'm going to crack off.
Yeah, nice, not bad.
Yep, and Wilbo, here we go. Oh, it's solid.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Kaya's not cracking today because she's not drinking, so.
Well, someone's got
actually, would you like a can of Coke or a water or anything like that, Kaya?
I've got my water.
Some?
I'm okay. Oh, yeah, thank you.
Let's have a go.
Cheers. Well,
get that up your bum.
Yep. Oh, cheers, Will. Get that in you.
Oh, yeah. That brings back memories.
Yeah, I haven't had a JD in a long time.
No.
Well, when I say a long time, it's probably not that long. But it's been plenty of beers.
It's pretty smooth for 10% as well, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't taste very methanol at all. Mm. Right, yeah, so that's an introduction to Kaya. We've also got Will here as well. Both, you're into Harleys as well.
Yeah, yeah, I'm lucky enough to be Kaya's husband.
Yep.
incredibly lucky. And I definitely didn't have anything like that growing up. Like, my old man's a big footy head, played for the Balmain Tigers before they were West Tigers. Yeah, reserve grade. Yep. And then City versus Country, like when I was growing up all through the 90s, he was in the country team. So, yeah, big footy head, but never into sort of motorbikes. Mum was from a farming family, and they were all like old school, so all horses and things like that. No, show me if I ever got a motorbike, she'd disown me.
Yep.
So I didn't start riding until I was probably about 18. Didn't even really get exposed to bikes that much until I was 18. And then mate taught me to ride dirt bikes on a farm. And then a few years later, I ended up trading one of my cars for a Harley, sort of by accident.
Right. Yep. So it was straight. It was straight to a Harley.
No, so I had a dirt bike first.
Oh, no, but after that, yeah.
But yeah, like my second motorbike was a Harley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I've still got it, actually. It's in the shed.
We just stripped it apart this week, too.
Yeah, it got ripped off in the,
I was going to say, like, in the floods. When you look at your Instagram, there's a lot of Harleys in there. Like, I got kind of lost on how many you've built. Like, is there a number?
I think we've gotten lost, too, frankly. We've both got two personal bikes we've finished building now. We've both got personal bikes on the hoist. It's
finished.
Yeah. Like, we've both got FXR SPs, 1992 models, both sitting on lifts at the moment.
Yeah.
They're both down to frame and motors. We've still got more to go, but it's actually kind of cute that we're at the same point in time in our builds now.
But these are two new ones that you're using on.
Yeah.
But you've built so many others, haven't you?
A few, yeah.
Like, by what I can see, and they look schmick as.
Oh yeah.
Well, even before Harley, she built a couple of cafe races with your old man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get to that.
Yeah.
Because the first one that looks like the first one you built, I should have got a photo of my old man, but the TS185ER.
Yes.
The red thing.
Yes.
Identical bike on the farm, and that's what I grew up on the front handlebar, hanging on the front handlebars, and Dad was riding me around, round up cattle. Identical bike, red, the whole thing. It's identical. Yeah.
Do you know how many times I've actually heard that?
Because
so many people love their memories loads on the TS.
Yeah.
And that's how I met him. That's why I made Fall in Love With Me for it. I rocked up on that bike.
But
six month turnaround, turned it into a cafe race.
Was that 6 months?
Six months. Right. That was all it was. Honestly, it started as a joke. It was sitting in the paddock. It was overgrown with lantana. And my old man was making the comment saying, you know, custom culture and custom bike building isn't going out and buying the specific bike, using the specific platform, and then using that to have your custom bike. Yep. It's whatever you want. It's whatever you've got.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, well, we've got a TS in the paddock. Pull it out. See what we can do with it.
See what you can do with it.
Yeah.
So did you do many mods to the chassis at all?
The TS didn't need it.
No.
Okay. All I did was cut the frame at the back. So they've got like that horseshoe loop where the seat bolts onto the back. Only thing we did was cut that off.
Yep.
Everything else on that frame, stock standard.
Yeah, wow. And swing arms are stock standard on that one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah
right. Yeah, it the transformation of what the farm bike looked like to then the cafe racer that you built. And has it got a name?
It's called the Coyote.
we
had a couple of the American Serve JDs in the shed that night, and we were dreaming up what it was going to be. And my mum's a painter. She does all of our art for us and all the paintwork. And we honestly went to the next shed over. We picked out all of her paint tins, grabbed all the color schemes, stuck it on my finger, and went.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
That'll look good. Yep. So, yeah, no, it was great. We dreamed it up, and I was always a big Looney Tunes kid when I was younger.
So do you remember what year that was in? Like, you talk about your dad in the shed, like Ernie was back in the shed. Is that in the 90s or was that in the was that later?
Dad's always been in the shed, always.
When did you start building that TS?
The TS started being built in 2017.
Oh, right. It's a recent thing.
Yeah, right.
Well, her and old man built a Kingswood, though, when you're a teenager. So
on my
that's
16th birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just not bikes. You're into building everything.
Well, we've built the cars. And honestly, after playing the car game, it's so much more expensive. It takes so much more room.
Yeah.
And to get fast, you need to spend tens on tens of thousands of dollars just to shave a second off the quarter.
Yeah.
Bikes, you spend 10 grand on it and it looks like a show bike. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
And the TS185, I keep going back to it, but it's a stock standard engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing done to it.
Nah.
But it's prettied up on the outside, of course.
Yeah. Oh, it looks pretty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
it smells like strawberries.
It doesn't need to be fast.
It's strawberry two-stroke oil.
Yeah. Is that the iPhone one?
Yeah, it is.
So is that so it doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be fast because it looks fucking awesome.
Right.
It looks amazing. Yeah,
thank you. Yeah.
And a lot of the other builds as well, like there's just so much in there that you've got. So anyone listening, go check out that page because there's so many bikes on there that I just get – I get lost on. I'm like, when was that? When was this? When was that? So at home in your shed, is it a shed at your house?
Yeah.
We've got one big shed that has all the cars in it and all the finished bikes.
Our personal stuff.
Yeah. And then there's another shed that's got all the bikes that are currently in pieces, all the bikes that need some work. So I think – actually, I don't think any of our – finished bikes are in the workshop at the moment. They all run, which is a first.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
Well, when you've got a few bikes, like, you know, you've always got one that just doesn't work. But right now, magically, miraculously, they all work.
Yeah, yeah. And like with sandblasting and prep and fabrication, you guys are doing the lot in the shed?
We have a bloke that we use for our powder coating.
Yeah.
We've got my mum who does all the paint work, but everything else we do ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Yeah, that'd be interesting to come have a look at one day. As in,
it is like the process, like you're sort of sitting there. So obviously, customers' bikes, so they give you free rein with what you want to do, or they give you like a little bit of a list and then go, yeah, here we go.
We get a general concept of what they want to do, and then we take it from there and guide them gently to, hey, this will work. But at the end of the day, though, I'm not sure if you've seen the Evo shovel that I finished building. That's shovel head frame, Evo motor. And not one thing on it fits. So I can't turn around to someone and say, hey, that's not going to work, because you just can't make it work. That's the whole point of customizing a bike is anything will work on it. Although some things may not be practical or feasible or it's going to look shit, one of the two. But if you guide them and go, hey, look, that's not a good idea. Let's do this instead. They're generally pretty happy with it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and with bike building itself, like, you know, and congratulations, you've now a qualified... So when did you start your trade?
Well, there's a little bit of a story behind that. So Will deployed. I decided that I was going to go through and get my trade certificate. I was going to go get qualified. I was going to quit my job. I was going to go become an apprentice. Bearing in mind, I was making massive money on a dealership. I was ready to lose it all to go and get my certificate.
Yeah.
Nowhere in Southeast Queensland offered the certificate three in motorcycle mechanics. Not one place. The closest place I could go and get it in person was Townsville.
Oh, right. Wow. So they don't do it anymore at Brackenridge?
No.
Yeah, right.
No. Yep. So I really was desperate to get this certificate under my belt. Like
trade qualification.
Massively going to help the workshop out.
Yeah.
I ended up finding a place that would do an RPL. So I called them, said, yep, cool, no worries. We need XYZ from you. They sent me a list of about 2,000 photos that they required. I went through it, I procrastinated, I got scared because I was like, holy shit, how am I supposed to get a photo of me diagnosing a vibrating issue in the frame?
Yeah.
Like, you can't photograph that. Yeah. So I was on the phone to them constantly. They knew me by first name basis by the end of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, within the 6 months that you were away, I tackled it bit by bit. I went, thank God for my Instagram, frankly, because I've recorded so many parts of building a bike that I could just reference it and grab photos, videos. And I think the draw card was I sent them the before and afters of my bike that I built from a frame and a motor. And then the Dyna Lowrider, which was your typical hell yeah brother Harley that we've now made the club style Harley.
Yep.
They sent me an invoice the next day. They're like, I'm not asking any more questions. You've sent us more information than anybody else has. Here's your certificate.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Wow. So they did call me. I had an interview with them over the phone.
Yep.
They asked me all the basic questions, answered it all well, and I got it way easier than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Shed qualified.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, what better way? By actually doing it rather than sort of going to a TAFE that sort of someone that sort of shouldn't be there teaching people or
But also you've been doing it all your life, really. Yeah. So it comes naturally.
I was a 6-year-old kid sitting at the dinner table with my dad, and he was teaching me, now what makes a motor run? You need air, you need fuel, you need spark. Yep. Recite that over and over.
Yeah. So. Suck, squish, bang, blow.
Yeah.
How good. So how many kids, how many other brothers and sisters do you have?
I've got one little sister. She's just turned 14, and she's about to start her build on her HZ Holden Ute.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yep. So she's still in the car. So she's still 14. So obviously still living at home.
Yeah.
Yep. Doing the car building.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her old man and her just built. What's that little dirt bike they've got?
It was a Suzuki something. I don't. It's 50cc posty bike thing that they turned into a scrambler.
It's cool. Do you got a photo of that on you?
Yeah. Right.
I've got so many photos on me.
It's cool. It's cool.
We'll have to get some of those and post those ones up on that as well. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah,
that is, it is so interesting. Like I'm a bit like Will. So I grew up on a farm with sort of horses and stuff like that. And motorbikes were taboo. But once I rode a motorbike, I'm going, So horses went to the side. Now my daughters still ride horses and stuff like that. That's her thing. But yeah, so the motorbikes, it gets in your blood.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? And it's there to stay. Like you can't get rid of it.
Oh, I piss all my money away on Harleys, to be honest. Like
I've never owned a Harley. I've ridden two Harleys. I'll put my hand up for that. So one was a Fat Boy and the other one was an FXDR.
Oof, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, so both later model ones as well.
Yeah, so the Fat Boy got left at my place and so I ride a BMW G1250. So that's my bike of choice and I sort of jump on that and I go down to Melbourne or dirt, sort of everything like that.
We did that too.
Not on dirt.
Yeah.
We did 50 kilometres of dirt road on the Harleys. What are you talking about?
50 Ks, yeah.
Any bike can ride dirt, I've found out later on. So it's not just an adventure thing. I think that's just the market that sort of...
You're certainly a lot more comfortable on an adventure bike, though.
Yeah, like 1,000 Ks, 1,000 Ks and get off the Beamer and just go, right out. It's like driving a car.
Like
it's pretty easy.
So you've been to Melbourne on the bike? So have you done a lot of trips with... long trips?
Oh, that's the longest one we've done.
We've done three really big trips. So the first one was, we're from Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
From Brisbane to Townsville, I had a really shitty, janky Sportster at the time. Yeah,
that was
pretty
funny.
CPM was like 5 mil thick.
So her and I, we picked that up pretty cheap. And you and your old man just kind of fixed that bike up because it was a bit of a shit show.
Yeah.
And so I helped a bit, but it was mostly you and your dad put that bike back together, put it in a rideable state. And we thought it was going to break down like the whole way. We honestly did not think it would make it. It was like every time we stop for fuel, we check every single bolt in the bike. We'd be like, surely this thing
there's is going to be something going
on. It's going to explode. Like a bolt's going to rattle loose. The whole thing will fall apart.
Don't get me wrong. It was pretty.
Yeah.
Mum's paintwork, but we were so worried about the bike the whole time.
But no, it made it the whole way. We just stopped halfway at, not Tannum Sands.
Clairview,
and just illegally camped. Like on the beach
there. Oh, we're at Barracrab. Clairview, is that right on the ocean?
Yeah,
I know where that is. Yep.
It's stunning. Yeah. It's so nice.
It is a beautiful spot. I can't believe there's not more things there. Though.
That's actually the closest.
Well, there's a caravan park there, but we didn't book because we kind of just like no cuff too tough, you know?
Yeah.
So because we didn't plan anything, it was getting dark. Actually, it'd been dark for a couple of hours. We're like, fuck, we need to pull up stumps for the day. The
kangaroos were starting to jump out of
fear. So we just like, this is a good spot. And it was, except the mosquitoes were horrific.
Yes.
Utterly horrific.
I don't know if we're like amazing for doing it or if we're dumb as fuck. But when we do our bike camps, we just literally roll a mattress out and sleep next to the bike.
Oh, it's full hobo spec.
We have a tent. We bring it with us. We just don't use it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In that
time. That's the type of camping I want to get Barney into.
Yeah, so I love camping. I'm major into camping, so I love the stars when I'm sort of camping, when you look at them.
Yeah, how many stars?
All five of them lined up together.
Yeah.
Because I ride a BMW, so it's sort of...
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just you carry all that gear and it's going...
Just a little mattress, like Kay is saying, just a little mattress.
And this is one of the things that he's trying to do. He wants to make me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And go and doing these things where we're just camping and
sort of it's character building. It's great. Good stuff.
I've got enough character.
If I can do it, you can do it. Trust me.
There you go, Barney.
Oh, 100%. I can do it. I actually went and got, I'll show you a photo after this, actually, of my tent setup that I brought at Christmas time. It's in the lounge room.
Yeah, he's going to need a trailer behind the BMW.
I agree. You should be able to do both, though. Like, one of the things that we say at work is like, you know, any dickhead can do it tough. It takes a real soldier to do it easy. So you should be able to do it both ways, though.
Yeah, it is. I think you've got to mix and match a little bit. So, but this year, I will actually start to do a lot more camping.
Yeah. So up to Townsville was the first one.
Yeah.
Did you go highway up and then back roads back? Or
Pretty much. Yep. Yeah. That's basically exactly how we did it. Yeah.
And how long did it take? Like, how long did you plan to do it? We went up there
to see some of my mates because I used to live up in Townsville for about 9 years. So we went up there for... How long were we up there for? About
3 or 4 days? A week. It was 2 days up, 2 days back. Bearing in mind, though, I just want to caveat, he was on his brand new 2019 Fat Bob.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on the janky sports stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got saddlebags, got a tool pack, got a bearing.
Yeah.
You know, had a comfortable whole seat. Jerks.
Yeah. I'd done a few big trips on my bike. I'd worked out, like, what I need to change to make it comfortable. Like, my bike was primo by then.
Yeah.
I was good.
And then the second road trip, it was roles reversed. So I was on my 2004 Dyna, and it had the fairing, the saddlebags, the good seat. He was on the 1986.
Yeah.
86 FXRD.
It's a full tour bike, though. Like, it's got all the, you know, all the creature comforts that 1986 had to offer. But it's like, you know.
It was still 1986.
It was the one we were worried was going to break down.
It's got like 95,000 kilometres on it, an unopened motor, unopened gearbox. Like, the whole thing's stock as a rock.
Yeah.
Like, nothing changed on it at that time except the handlebars, the only thing I touched. And I was just sort of worried, like, every 100Ks, like, fuck, is this thing going to break down? I was comfortable. I was much more comfortable than you were on the sporty, but I was like... Yeah. You know, kind of like, fuck, is this going to make it the whole
way
down?
But that's the thing, though, is like you remember those trips more than when you got there and nothing happened.
So
you're sitting there worried about this and go, oh, what if and what if. But
we did have some breakdowns.
We had a day, that one particular day. So Great Ocean Road and back was 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 days or something like that.
Oh, so what, you're like talking about Perth. You went...
Oh, no, Victoria. So Great Ocean Road down the bottom.
Yeah. But where'd you go to?
Back home.
Oh,
yeah, so it was down the we sort of
Great Ocean Road, isn't that along the Nullarbor?
That's just south of Melbourne.
What am I thinking of?
South of Melbourne and Geelong.
You okay?
it's kind of like from the
these 10%ers, Baz and going to me head.
Yeah, mate, they rough you up.
There's only one Great Ocean Road, Stiffy.
I was like, is there another?
I thought that's the one over to Perth. Oh, that's just called the Nullarbor.
Wait till Ross fucking rings in about this. It's great.
There's no Ross. It's Cordy's next door neighbour.
Oh, Cordy's next door neighbour.
No, but we had a day where both bikes had an issue. We were about to do Putty Road as a part of the journey through down south to Sydney. And my bolt on the top shock snapped after we did 50Ks of dirt road.
Yeah.
We pulled up for a vape at the time. And we're better now. We're refined now. We're quit. Anyway, pulled up and we're looking at the bike. We're already pretty fucked at this point in time for being 4 days on the road, 4,000 Ks in, sleep. Yeah. And we're sort of staring at the bike. It was middle of December. It was hot as shit.
Someone's going to call us out. It's not 4,000 Ks from Brizzy to Putty Road. We bounced our way across the Great Ocean Road, across the Great Dividing Range. So we go across one way, across the other way.
So that's into the back of Sydney, the Putty Road.
We're just bouncing back and forth. So it did take us a few days.
We took the tourist route.
We took the tourist route.
You jump on a bike, I'd never ride down the highway.
No, why would you?
Always at the back. It's many more Ks than what it actually... take to get there in the car.
Yeah, it is. It's so much prettier.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And as soon as I ride on a highway, I just feel tired and over it.
Yeah, and you lose focus. And that's when you start to get tired.
100%. But yeah, we noticed the shock bolt snapped. We were staring at it for ages, going, oh, fuck, when we finally realised. Limped it 100 kilometres to Newcastle Harley to go and buy a shock bolt, and then we slipped it into their workshop because we couldn't have lifted it up fully packed up, ready for the trip and everything. They were kind enough. 10 minutes, we were back on the road. And then an hour later, just outside of Sydney.
Just past the north side of Sydney. It would have been like 10 minutes from the north side of Sydney.
The FXR started misfiring. And he's like, fuck, 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 something's wrong. We pull over and it wasn't starting. But it still had really weird symptoms. It would still crank. It would still do this. We'll instantly dismiss the battery. We're like, no, it's got to be ignition. It's got to be coil. We spent 6.5 hours on the side of the highway, busy as shit in the middle of Sydney, trying to figure out what was wrong with it. And all along, it was just the battery that dropped a cell.
Wow.
So they do really weird shit on Harleys.
Yeah.
Anything electronic.
Yeah, right. Just a fucking dead cell.
Dead cell. Yeah, that was it. But thanks to Instagram, we put a call out. We found some bloke that was in the middle of Sydney. We messaged him at 11:30 at night. He responded. He said, send me your location. We will come out with a battery. And we paid him $50 fuel money for his time and efforts and paid him for a battery.
That good sack.
We were on our
way. Yeah.
88 Custom Harley, I think he was called.
Oh, there you go.
So here's his little
plug. Shout out to you, sir. Yeah,
100%.
The link, sir.
And so is there any stories about flat tires on Harleys? Because like
no, never.
No.
Touch wood.
Are you serious?
No.
Nothing?
Never. I've never had a flat.
Yeah, right.
I had a bloke who just bought a wheel off us the other day. He was going down the highway, just bought a bike, and it sheared. Bit of a dodgy build by the previous owner or something. I don't know the specifics, but it sheared the all the bolts that held the
pulley
pulley for the belt sheared off, and he's going down the road and it's all just stopped and he's kind of up on the tank. He didn't come off. A real good rider, this fella. And he just, you know, come to a stop, was all fine. But no flats. I've hit
That's
two
good.
Kangaroos on bikes.
I've hit two.
And didn't come off the bike either time.
Yep.
Thankfully. Got hit by a car on the Fat Bob as well.
Really?
Didn't come off that time either.
Yeah.
No, never had a flat.
Yeah.
Now you've said that, we're going to have a flat.
Oh, no.
You're going to have a flat and you're going to go.
Now you're going to be like fucking Stiffy. It's just fucking jinxed us.
We'll call Jinx you me. When we get a flat.
Yeah. Stiffy can change a good tyre, so.
Yeah, that's good. So I guess, I mean, building bikes, it's obviously a passion of yours, isn't it? Like, you wouldn't
borderline,
be doing it.
Borderline autism between the two of us, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Shout out to autism. So I think you've got to have a bit of that in you.
Everyone's
when you actually
got a bit of tisms.
Yeah. Got the tisma, a touch of the tisma.
And is there any projection down the future to take it to a bigger scale, or are you just happy just to do it as what you're doing now?
I mean, I'd like to be able to quit my day job and do it full time.
Yep.
So between wrecking bikes and selling parts, doing builds for customers, for us building a bike and selling it complete is sort of the goal.
Yep.
But yeah, I'd love to be able to do it from home. And one day there might be a little one in the shed with us and they'll grow up like I did.
Yep. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Grease in the nappy and everything.
Exactly. Exactly. They'll be playing in bog dust and with solder wire like I did, and then I get to yell at them for it.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So one
day in the not too distant future.
What? Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
So how many bikes do you think you've done with your dad and yourself and Will? Like, do you know?
10 to 15?
Yeah, right.
Roughly?
I'm just trying to think how many we've done.
Yeah.
All right, let's work through it. So we got the Sportster, 2005 Sporty, which I sold to do the 2004 Diner. The Evo Shovel was a 4.5 year build because I started with nothing. That was frame and a motor and that was it.
Yeah.
We did your Fat Bob after we got hit by a car. I encouraged you to strip it to a frame and a motor and make it what you wanted it. We've currently
and
got...
Good boy.
I'm so proud of you. Yeah. We got two FXRs in the shed that we're working on.
I don't count them. They're not finished.
Well, they're in progress. It won't take long.
Yeah.
Got the Coyote in the living room.
Oh, so you've still got the TS?
Yeah, yeah.
It'll never go.
Yeah.
It's just a wall ornament now, more or less.
Yeah.
Polish it once a week when I clean the house. It's great.
It could still be fired up and run. It's just not registered.
Yeah.
At some point, you've got to stop registering bikes.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Exactly. But my old man's got a 1989 Heritage Softail. He's got a 70 Z400 Kawasaki. My mum has a CB200 Honda that looks like a little Triumph. Dad's also building a rigid Triumph at the moment, which is current. What am I missing? I feel like there's
this. Your dad just finished our sports star.
There's another sports too. Yeah, yep. Yeah, 94 Sporty.
I counted 7 finished bikes between you and your dad, and I'm involved in like 3 or 4 of them.
Yep.
It's a fair few.
Yeah. But then on the go right now, there is another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, there's at least another 6 bikes.
We've got 6 bikes in our workshop.
That's between us. That's between the two of us and you. Well, that's just between
and
the
sourcing
two of us.
Parts. You obviously just source parts through Wreckers or like online.
I get a lot of stuff from the States because a lot of stuff you just can't get in Australia. Yeah. And it is not cheap. I wish it was cheap. Yeah. But
what's the Aussie dollar at the moment? It's not the best.
It's in the 60s, mid 60s. But a lot of the stuff we do just find in Australia. And we're getting into wrecking bikes now as well, like finding stat write-offs, but that are good, like a bike that would be rideable if it wasn't illegal to ride, and then parting that out is probably something that we're going to start getting into. We're doing that with a bike right now.
Yep.
It is my first Harley, yeah. And then just anything that we want to keep off the bike, we'll keep off the bike. And we now have a... we're now a distributor, Kaya is now a distributor, Throttle Moto Co., for Rolly Speed Shop in Australia as well.
Oh, nice.
Well done.
Yeah,
So what's that involve? What's the
certificate
product?
3 in motorcycle mechanics was a requirement. It's all brand new aftermarket parts. So Rolly imports containers and containers from the States of brand new genuine parts, whether it be S&S, Arlen-Ness, whatever you name it, he can get it in.
Right.
But they won't sell directly to the public. They sell to their dealers.
Yes.
So we've now become a dealer.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyone listening that's got a Harley, they can
come
call you direct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there you go.
And you're based in Ipswich?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. Queenslanders.
He wasn't.
New South Wales.
He's got the blue shirt on.
Coincidental, but, you know, stand by.
Yep. Yeah, oh, that's amazing. That's awesome. Well, anyone that's got a Harley out there, and there's hopefully going to be, well, there's plenty of them.
And if you need a build,
yeah, definitely.
Give us a call, sir.
Yeah, 100%. Well done. That's amazing. And now, Will, a bit about you. Like, you've just come back.
I need another tin.
Okay, well,
I'll get another one as well.
Righto, hang on. Let's go for a little wee bake.
Today's episode is also brought to you by TC Coolers. If you're looking for something unique, some custom gear to make your business stand out or your man cave even better,
then TC Coolers has you covered. TC specializes in custom stubby coolers, air fresheners, drink coasters, trucker haps, and much, much more.
And if you've got an idea, Thomas will make it happen. From design to delivery, he will ensure pickup is quick with top-notch quality.
Whether it's for your business, branding, party favors, or just to add a personal touch to your space, then they can do it all. Visit TC Coolers on Facebook today and let's bring your vision to life. There we go. So you brought them out a bit prematurely.
Well, I didn't actually. It was actually the right time.
Was it?
So we've actually said, well, that was a TC
yes, it was.
Cooler ad.
Yep. So Kaya just...
This
like,
is one of our sponsors, so... And he whipped this up. So he was on the last episode, which was Saturday.
Yes.
Sad day. So he whipped these up.
Only yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I'm glad that the sound came back in after I finished squealing.
Yeah. Well, if you better squeal again, that'd be great.
This is, shout out to you, Tommy at TC Coolers. Done you up a couple of couple of stubby coolers for you.
The only
problem is we're going to need to, Tommy's going
to
need
to. We're going to need to put some spaces in the bottom.
Hey, Tommy, when you listen to this on Friday morning.
These little hand grenades.
We're drinking hand grenades and... Yeah, we need something to fix that.
You just don't push it the whole way down. It sits in there comfortably.
Yeah,
you know?
It's right.
It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good.
It's good.
Here we go. Crack. Will's already bloody...
Yeah, I've already cracked one. Oh, I didn't wait.
Oh, that's a double fucking crack, so. Sick.
So, cheers, guys.
Cheers. Yep.
Cheers.
Get into it. Mm-hmm. Righto. So before we went for a little wee walk, I was just talking about Will. You just got back, Will. So tell us all about what you do as well.
So I am an infantryman in the army. I've been doing it for 14 years now.
Wow.
Just got back from Egypt. There's an operation that Australia's been involved in, not quite since 1982, but correction, not quite since 1980. Like, started then, but then we had a brief intermission for about 10 years. But more or less since 1980, we've been going. It's the longest consecutive Australian military operation ever. And it's to do with the peace treaty between Egypt and Israel at the end of the war that they had, where they signed a peace treaty in 1979 with Jimmy Carter, President of the United States. Just died a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
Okay, so is that the north of Israel, isn't it?
Because no, so it's the whole border. So we call it the IBL, International Border Line, in the Sinai Peninsula. It goes right from the top of the Sinai all the way down to the Red Sea down at the bottom.
Right. So you've got Israel. Don't you have Gaza?
Yeah, Gaza's right at the top. So top, Gaza's tiny, man. Gaza,
yeah, it's only
like,
small.
It's like, you know, not even as big as, you know, trying to think, Ipswich.
I was going to say Boona.
Genuinely, Ipswich. Yeah. Bigger than Boona. Yeah. It's a lot smaller than the scenic rim.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell of a lot smaller than the scenic rim.
Gotcha.
But the treaty is about peace between Egypt and Israel. Because
they share the border, obviously.
Yeah, and so I was deployed as a part of a group called the Multinational Force and Observers. And it's kind of like the UN in layman's. It's basically, this is a peace treaty that is observed not by the UN, but by an organization that was designed out of the treaty to observe the peace instead of involving the UN. Because for whatever reason, Egypt and Israel didn't want to involve the UN at the time, or the UN couldn't come up with a resolution, so they just cut them out. And then this organization was generated out of the treaty.
Yep.
And it's staffed by 17 different nations right now.
Yeah, right.
Including, you know, Australians, Americans, French, New Zealanders, Serbians, Albanians, Colombians, and then however many more to get to 17.
Where, and you've been over there for the last 6 months straight?
Yeah, I was there for 6 months, yeah.
6 months straight, and just after the wedding?
So we got married, and then we were meant to have 3 weeks together, and then the army decided we were only going to get 2 weeks together.
Did you have a honeymoon yet?
Oh, yeah. So you get leave in the middle. Whenever you do a deployment of 6 months, you get 2 weeks off, which you can have kind of sort of anywhere in the middle. Then if you do 9 months, you get 4 weeks off in two separate blocks. 12 months, you get three. But I was deployed for, you know, six and a bit months. So right in the middle, we went to Rome and we rented a Harley. We rented a Harley and we rode from Rome along the south of France, down all the way into Valencia in Spain, and then we rode back up to Milan in Italy, and then we flew from Milan to Athens, rented not a Harley, unfortunately.
It's Athens. Soft. Every part of us hated it.
Yeah, it's a Royal Enfield, and I don't know.
But we can say after riding it
was it in a Himalayan?
Yes. No. It was super medial. So it's a 650 liquid cooled V twin, and it's like their cruiser
style.
It fucking sucked. I hate it. If you've got anyone that listens,
I've never heard a good story end with on our road and a Royal Enfield.
I was really disappointed. I was honestly like, I went into it with an open mind. I'm like, oh, this would be good. It'll be fine, because the only Harley available in Greece was an 883 Sportster. And in hindsight, after we had the bike, I was like, I'll do a bit of research, because I didn't do any research before we went. I was like, no cuff too tough, should be right.
Yeah.
And then after we got there and we were riding the bike, I'm like, this is fucking shit. So I did some research. Turns out the 883 Sportster, which is the most gutless Harley you could buy, has more horsepower, more torque, has a higher top speed. It's just better in every way. And I was like,
I think we maxed the Enfield out at 141 kilometers. Nah, and
it was more than that. It was
downhill with
the breeze. Well over the speed limits in Greece. But it was no Harley.
No, we were slapping the back to
So that trip was the honeymoon, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that was the honeymoon.
Wow.
Yeah.
When's the next trip?
When he deploys again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was expensive, to be honest.
It would have been. And was that over a 2 week period?
It was
a honeymoon. So it's got to be expensive.
It was about 11 days.
It was twice the cost of our wedding. And we pulled our wedding in really fucking cheap too.
Yeah. So it was 11 days from Italy, France, Spain, and back. And then 3 days in Greece, more or less. And so she flew from Australia, met me in Rome, and then she flew out of Athens and I flew out of Athens back to work.
Yeah, right. And so with work, were they looking after the whole border, you guys, with those 17 countries or 17 nations?
Yeah. So we don't
it's not just like...
So we don't enforce like the border stuff between Egypt and Israel. It's not like an enforcement thing. We provide a report, like as the MFO provides a report to both the Egyptians and the Israelis in terms of what each side is doing on the border. So there's transparency between both of them. So no one sneaks up on anyone else type thing. And like the Egyptians and the Israelis are both interested in maintaining the peace. Like they're not trying to, you know, stuff each other around. That's not what it's about. It's just, you know, you've got an unbiased third party that provides a report to both sides to say, hey, the Israelis are doing this, the Egyptians are doing this, so there's no surprises, basically.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point of it.
That's, very interesting. So talk us through like a day-to-day, like sort of, say you're up in the morning, obviously, Brecky, what do you do after that?
There's like so many different roles in the MFO. The Australian contingent is not very big. It's only about 30 people, but it's one of our biggest, deployments we have right now, because we're not doing any war fighting anywhere else or any war-like operations in the rest of the world. So we do have bigger contingents doing other things, like training the Ukrainians, which is happening in the UK. We've got random training contingents and, we've obviously got naval vessels going through the South China Sea, all that kind of stuff. But in terms of, like a proper deployment, this is the biggest one we have. So it's bigger than we've got people in the Sudan doing on a UN mission. We've got people in the Golan Heights, which is on the northern side of Israel into Syria. That's also a UN mission. And they're both smaller than the MFO, but everyone does a different job in the Australian contingent. Like no one really works together, and the whole Australian contingent isn't like one group of people doing one job. We're kind of spread throughout the whole headquarters staff to, there's an adult in the room whenever any decision's being made.
Yeah.
But every decision is not necessarily looked over by, but involves an Australian at some level in the MFO. And that's kind of the reason that our force is structured that way, just so we can have the maximum amount of impact in the force with such a small contingent.
Yeah.
So I worked with two other fellas, and we were the security sergeants at South Camp, because there's two main camps and a bunch of remote sites. And there's some other fellas who do the same job as up in the North Camp. So we're right down the bottom of the Sinai Peninsula, and the North Camp's not quite on the Mediterranean, but close.
Yeah.
But the South Camp is on the Red Sea, so we literally have a private beach. It's a very strange situation where you're you're in a military base and you've got a private beach. It's pretty good. I wish Australian bases had it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Townsville doesn't have that.
No, not even Townsville. But if I was, we were shift workers. So if you were on shift, you would do the, run the base security basically for a 2-day period. So 48 hours straight. You're still sleeping during that time, but you're on call the whole time. So we had Fijians who provide the base security and then an American headquarters that we work for. So I would go and check all the security Fijian positions, run some training for those guys, help them with the entry and exit point, which is where all the Egyptians come in through, the locally employed civilians. We'd receive them and then get them back out again. They've all got to get scanned, metal detected, searched, all that stuff, vehicles as well, all that crap.
Yeah.
We provide passes to everyone coming and going to make sure they're allowed, they're authorized to be on the camp. And then after I'd done that, go have brekkie, maybe go to the gym if there was time. Then I'd go to the office, do some admin on the computer, and then I'd go to lunch. And then I'd do the same thing again at midday, go do all my checks, talk with the Fijians if anything's going wrong. Most of the job is just problem solving. Either it's Egyptians who, are meant to have a pass but don't have a pass, and they're arguing with the Fijians are arguing with them. You're sort of dealing with the interpersonal relations with everybody, and then you're talking back to the office run by the Americans hey, can we sort these people's passes out? And then in the arvo it'd be more of the same. Maybe you get to go to the gym, maybe you don't, you go to the office, and then you do the same thing again, do dinner, do another round, and then you're on call all night.
Yeah. So is it the exact
same thing the next
Is it a base style It's a base. Yeah. So
yeah. So it's
what's the on your time off? Like, is in a weekend? Do you still get a weekend, or you're working pretty much
shift workers? So with there's three of us that do the same job in this like specific niche that we do. And again, everyone else in the Australian contingent was doing something different.
Yeah.
So some people get weekends, some people don't. Like, if you're a shift worker, you're working when you're working. You're not when you're not.
Yeah.
And then when you got time off, it doesn't necessarily mean you're not working. It just means you're not on shift. You know. Yeah. So you might be running more. We run a lot of training for the Fijians, and like supported the American headquarters in some decision making type stuff. And so, you know, if you had your time off, you'd basically be going to the gym.
Yeah. Going to the beach.
I was going
to
say,
sometimes going to your
what's some of the fun
beach.
Things that you would keep your mindset in check?
It's a weird deployment, and it's not like any others, because it's been going for so long.
Yeah.
And because the threat right now, especially in the south, is very low. Like in years gone by, like Sharm El Sheikh is the city where the South Camp is. Like, there used to be, you know, like an insurgency down there. So, you know, there was IEDs and fucking insurgents and all that type of crap. But yeah. It hasn't been that way for a long time now. So yep. We're kind of more like, you know, just we make the base a hard target so that people can sort of relax when they're not working type thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So same thing when we're not working. Like, you go out into the city, you know, there's a, you know, got... Ate heaps of Syrian food while I was there.
Mm. What is a Syrian food? Like, what's it taste like? What is it?
Do you know what shawarma is?
No.
It's like a kebab.
I love kebabs. I've never had a kebab sober.
It's not a kebab, but ever. It's like a kebab.
Neither.
It's good.
Spices, don't worry about like plenty of spices.
We'll actually we'll get you on later. So
we'll just talk to him about.
We'll actually get back on later. So don't worry about that. So.
We'll come back to Boise.
So Syrian food is like kebab. Like it's
I didn't have too much like just Egyptian food, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, because it's all kind of Arabic food, you know. So there's lots of Syrian food, lots of Arabic food, and then you know go to the beach, go to the gym. Some people like even study while they're there, like depending on what you do, you might have a lot of time off.
Yep.
And so those people would like, you know, do degrees online, things like that. I didn't, just because I was trying to study for some work stuff. It didn't end up working out. Like, I was trying to get put on a course so I could do the remote part of the course. Like, normally there's a work from home component.
Yep.
And I wanted to do that while I was there, 'cause I had heaps of time. Mate of mine did end up doing his, which is going to save him heaps of time, you know, in Australia now.
Yep, once you get it done, it's done.
Exactly. So I tried to do that, so I didn't line up any, like, civilian accreditation, any uni degrees, any TAFE, didn't line up anything like that. In hindsight, I probably should have, but I was trying to do more work stuff while I was over there. It just didn't happen.
Mm. So now you're back in Australia. What's the plan for you guys? What's the – so you're –
I was just going to say, you worked so hard, you got a commendation.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to talk about that. That's fine.
Oh,
that
fair happens. Enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Accommodation for
just doing my job
for service,
or
something you actually
no, it was just work,
yeah,
over okay. there,
type just, stuff. Yeah, just
he was just it's so good,
nothing special.
Yeah, yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It could have gone to any of the three of us, they just had to pick one of us, and I was just lucky enough to be the guy out of the three of us.
So they picked it out of a hat, did they?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I go that far, but the commendation was really for the work that all three of us did, but all three of us couldn't get it. So one of us had to get it, and my one was the best written one.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yep.
I got it.
Got it.
Yeah, so done. Congratulations. Yeah.
Well done.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so what's next for you guys? Like, as in...
So now you're back in Australia.
How long are you back?
Kaya.
Like, are you back now for good, or you don't really know?
It's kind of... It's very... You're back until you're not back type thing. It's not like, you know, I don't know indefinitely into the future. Like, even that one, like, I did know for a while that I was going to go on that one. But I got more notice than most people. Like, most people will only get like three months notice before they go away on that. I was very lucky to have about six, almost 7 months that I knew that I was going on that.
Well, that's pretty handy when you're organising a wedding.
Mm. Well, yeah.
6 month turnaround from engagement to wedding date.
Yeah. But that's very uncommon.
That is crazy. So how do you guys handle that? Like, what's the obviously... I think one of the posts was
alcohol, coffee, nicotine. Alcohol.
This is why I'm not drinking.
Caffeine, nicotine, and alcohol
I became
mainly.
Far too dependent on it, so that's why I've taken a break at the moment. I don't have an answer other than alcohol.
Yeah. And that's fine.
No, I just
motorbikes.
Motorbikes.
Getting into the shed.
Keep yourself busy. Getting out of your head in the shed.
Get out of your head.
Getting into the shed.
Well, I ended up. Yeah, exactly. 100%. I ended up having a to-do list. just to keep myself busy at any given point in time of the day, or otherwise I'd go insane.
And like 60% of it was in the shed too.
Yeah, a lot was in the shed. I renovated our house. I painted the place. I'm halfway through building a chicken coop so we can have little chickens.
Oh, little eggies.
Yeah.
There's a shortage of eggs at the moment.
There is.
That's and why we're building a chicken coop. Perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a shortage of chicken wings too.
I've got to teach you farm rules. If you name them, you can't eat them.
Oh,
that's why we don't
trust
name
me.
Them.
Yeah. Oh, I've got acreage and, yeah, we've had pigs and stuff like that and, yeah, the kids went. That's the farm they went to. That was the abattoirs, but.
Oh, bless them.
What was your pig's name?
Oh, no, we didn't have any names and stuff, so.
But it ended up in your.
You can't eat them if they have names, so it didn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, so. No, we got a mate that called his pig Freezer.
Because that's where he ended up.
Yeah, that's where he went.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah. But no, just keeping busy. I made a new couple of friends of other defence partners who. It's one of those things. You don't know what you're signing up for, contrary to what everyone says. Mm-hmm. Got no idea. So to actually talk to like-minded people who were both spiraling with manic episodes,
yep.
Whilst we have no idea what our partners are doing overseas, half the time we can't talk to them because they're busy working or no service or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Having people like-minded definitely helped.
Just to relate to.
Building the bikes helped.
Yeah, 100%. Busy. Getting out of the head and getting into the shed.
Into the shed.
100%.
I go crazy when I ring my wife and she doesn't answer the phone if I can't find my favourite coffee mug. I'm going, like, how do you deal with that? Like, that's sort of going, like, where did you fucking put it? Like,
and the fucking thing's right where you left it.
No, the worst thing is, since I went away for 6 months, she has moved everything. And she'll tell you she hasn't, but she's moved everything.
And the shed is the same.
It's not the same. Just the other day, you're like, oh, I asked you where the mallet
was.
Where was the mallet?
One mallet that fell off the wall that I put it in the toolbox, but that's the only thing.
Yeah, welcome to the lads episode of Couple Therapy. Please call in now.
He also accused me of eating Allen keys.
Nah, not eating them, just throwing them over the fence.
They're like 10 mil sockets, aren't they?
It's only the ones that you need that. All the other ones are there.
Yeah.
But the one that you need, and it's the same sock in my toolbox, the same one is missing out of every packet that I've owned.
I reckon if we opened up all our Allen key sets right now, it would be the same. Yeah. All the tiny little ones, they're all there.
No, it's that one that you need.
It's like the three in the middle. Yep. It's the three in the middle of the pack, all gone.
They should just make those. They should just make that one. It's not the three in the middle.
It's like the emergency.
They do, but they charge you
out
the arse for it.
Yeah, more than the pay for the packet.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the old 10 mil socket. That's so what sort of sockets are Harleys?
They're mostly Imperial. Except Imperial. The brakes on late model. The brakes on late model are all metric because they're all Brembo, all Italian. So, but other than that, it's all Imperial.
I noticed BMW went away from Brembo and made their own brakes. So.
But they're all 12-sided sockets too. 12?
They're not all. Is it hex head? They're not all hex head.
What's the
honestly,
one that's
most of them are Torx. Most of them are fucking Torx bolts.
Yeah.
Which
we throw away.
Yeah. If a Torx bolt comes out of one of our bikes, it doesn't go back in. Rubbish.
Yep. Painful.
Well, one of the other things that we actually were trying to get into, and we've done a couple now, is shed reviews. So can we come out and have a look at your shed?
I would love you guys
absolutely.
To come out and look at our shed.
Cool.
Let's do that. You're more than welcome to come and do a shed.
Excellent.
One in.
How many shed reviews have you done?
Two.
Two? I think we might come out on top.
Yeah. I reckon we will.
Well, I don't know. Our next shed review is epic.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you would like this.
Yeah, you would like our next shed review.
So the next shed that we're going to, he actually has a Huey helicopter.
Ooh.
In the hanging. I'll show you photos.
From the shed.
He has 24 items. Tanks.
Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll show you photos.
Yeah. I'd love to see
And
that.
He's only up the road too.
I don't know if I can
pass
this.
That's only one of the two sheds. That's the first of two.
What's that's the workshop.
That's the worst thing is I'm now that guy. I'm now Tutty Two Sheds.
Yeah, and look at the floor. Is that painted floor?
We epoxied it.
Epoxied it. Yeah. That's
See,
the only
this
way to do it.
Really bad problem that if I think I can do something myself, I will not pay somebody to do it.
Yeah,
did you
that's
do that?
That's not true. You thought you'd build the sheds.
I thought we could build the sheds.
Yeah, we couldn't.
No, we could have.
We could not.
So give us a look, Bunny. Is it insulated? That's the next step. And then
so the roof
and then
is insulated. The roof is insulated.
We were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, because that's where you're going to spend most of your time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's so hot inside. Right,
we'll put that one in.
It's the same with this studio. We're going to fucking air con this thing one day. I'll tell you what.
Well, yeah, so we're the same. Where the roof is insulated, same as this, but the walls
The walls
aren't.
Isn't. But that's, the western, is it, which way is the doors open? To the east?
They open, no, to the west.
Oh, they open to the west.
Yep.
So you get the west sun in there. Yep. To the west.
Although it is romantic, building bikes and looking out to a
pretty sunset. Oh, you're going to say you get to see the sunset. Oh, very cute.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's more just the orientation of the property. We kind of, you know.
Yeah, it was the only place we could build on the fence.
Doesn't all your storms come from the west as well? So roll the doors down.
In Ippy.
Yeah, Ippy.
Oh, mate, the storms come from every direction.
Predominantly they come from the south.
We're not that far from the mountains either, like Nebo and Gloria. So you've got a lot of storms like breaking over the mountain, coming down that way as well. Yep. It's all over the shop, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, pick a direction, there's storms coming from that way.
So in the shed is mainly Harleys, right?
Yeah.
And tools wise, Barney just touched on the tools. Lots of tools. Is there a his and hers set?
Oh, finally.
Yeah, hers is the big fuck off toolbox. This is the tiny little Stanley kit.
Oh, I do have a little Stanley kit. I've had that Stanley kit for it'll be almost 20 years.
Yeah, you won't let me
and
touch it.
Almost everything in that kit is as it came when I bought it 20 years ago.
And it's still there.
Except for even the 10 mil.
Yeah, it's all still there.
Still there.
That one piece
doesn't get used.
The large, no, I use it more than I use the big toolbox. But the big toolbox is more ours. And it's a shit fight.
Yeah. It is not.
It bloody is.
Just because you've been gone 6 months, you don't know where anything is.
She moved it.
I have to label each drawer.
So maybe a his and hers coming right up soon.
Yeah, maybe.
Is there space to put a his and hers?
Yeah,
we're running out of space, but we'll make it work.
At this, we're honestly,
you got two. Have you got two lift stands, as in like pneumatic lift stands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We only got one like pneumatic like bike stand.
Yep.
But we've got like, God, how many bike jacks do we have?
Five.
Oh, okay.
It's a few.
Yeah. Honestly, I prefer working on that.
Because you can walk right. You're not having to lean over. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like the big pneumatic ones. I want another one.
Well,
swap ya.
Because you can put your tools down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can leave my little Stanley set on there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Is it
everything
yellow?
Down where it comes off.
Yellow. I reckon I have the same one.
It's only about probably yay big. Yep. And it
metal,
used to live.
Proper metal.
No, so it's plastic, but all the tools they're beautiful. They're, and I've absolutely beat the piss out of them and they've all survived. So it used to be like my Forbian set that I'd take in my Hilux.
Yeah.
When I broke stuff going Forbian, and God knows I did, and I've never broken a single tool in there, and I've absolutely beat the piss out of them with sledgies and hammers and rocks and
using them as hammers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, and they've all gone the distance.
Yeah, the Stanley is pretty good. So at the moment in my shed, so I've got my daughter's boyfriend, Corey, who listens. Shout out to you, Corey. Get your
clean the fucking
car
shed,
off
Corey.
Hoist.
Clean the fucking shed up.
Your clutch turned up today. You need to fucking put it in, get it off there, so I can get the dats.
This weekend, you're not going out drinking.
But he's only going to see this on Friday, so it's probably going to happen the following weekend.
It's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah. We'll make it happen.
This will drop
but
Thursday.
I've got like four toolboxes open, and there's like fucking shit everywhere. There's bits and pieces in that toolbox and this one, and I just can't go in there at the moment, so it does my head in.
Yep. No.
ADHD.
I get it.
ADHD with fucking low ambitions.
Righto. So before we close up, fucking hell, it's already been 55 minutes. Just fucking.
Oh, we could do two or three of these.
It's just flying. It's good. Yeah. So before we go, so shout out again, Kaya, to anyone that wants to follow you guys and also your distribution. What was the company again? That
Rollies.
Yeah. So you're now a distributor. Rollies.
Yep.
Shout out. Give us a shout out to all of. There's a bug right flying on. Around. Anyone that's listening, how do they find you? If they've got a Harley Davidson.
Yep.
And they want parts, or they want information, or service, or how do they find you?
Reach out to us on Instagram, Throttle Moto Co. All one word. I'm on there every bloody day. So any messages, I'll be on it straight away for you. I also want to shout out to my mum, as I've mentioned about the painter, Bex Air Art on Instagram as well.
Oh, there you go.
So if you need a painter, get onto those.
100%.
Yep.
So she's very good at the fine details.
God. She's amazing. Every time we take one of our bikes into a show, we come home with the best paint trophy.
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
It's good. Shed's really filling good.
Up. And I got Barney to – now, we normally do at the end. We've got some guest questions, which I think you're going to do. But before we get to the guest questions, we've got some songs, right?
Some songs.
Now, I couldn't find yours, Will. I couldn't find. Now, maybe I was told the wrong song. But is it right? I don't know. Anyway, so what's your favourite song that you would either ride to? So actually, no. So when we – what's our song? What's our song? So if you feel the need, you got to –
you got turned up.
Imagine
if the song
you're
comes on,
you've
got to crank it right up.
And it comes on, it pricks your ears, prick up, and you go, fuck, I'm going to crank that.
Creed.
No, I'd probably Layla, Eric Clapton.
Layla?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Nice. Well, I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to have to press pause here. Here we go. We're fucking back. Righto. So what we're talking about is songs that when you feel the need to turn it up, like just imagine you guys are in your shed, the radio's on the background, and Kaya, your song comes on.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking cracking hell.
Here's my song. Sorry.
Crack it off there, buddy. And it turns it up. So tell us all about this song. Actually, I'll play it first and then you can give us a bit of a yarn on the back end of it. Here we go. Here's Kaya's song. So that's your song.
What a banger.
It is a banger. It gets you going.
It actually builds up, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Started from nothing then, yeah.
And I can only play like a minute of it or so, but that's something that if it comes on the radio.
Tools down.
Mm.
Music up.
Crank it.
Yep.
100%. Smashing JDs.
Dance like no one's watching.
Literally. We really do.
Yeah.
Just inhaling whatever JDs available.
So where does that song take you? Is that a moment of time or is that just something that just resonates with you?
Yeah. There was a weekend, a couple of nights after New Year's, not last year, gone the year before, and we were stripping apart, I think it was the Fat Bob, or rearranging the shed, one of the two, and that came on the radio. We cranked it up, good fucking song.
Yeah.
And we just started dancing and just jumping around the shed and just forgot what we were doing. Yeah. And we ended up making it our first dance song at our wedding.
Oh, well done. Yeah. So it's got a Yeah, well, that's great.
It was so sweet at the start, though. It was lovely. And
it lulled everyone into a false sense of security at the wedding.
It did, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I didn't play the first little bit of it because it takes a while to sort of build up. But it's nice.
And then it just turns up
to like, fucking, let's
let party. Hey.
Yeah.
It was an all-in mosh by the end of the chorus. Yeah. It was great.
Righto. Now, I've got another one for Will. Oh, far out. That just turned on straight away, didn't it? Mm. That was loud in my eardrums. So, Will, this is your song. I'm going to play it and you can tell us all about it afterwards. I think I'm going to play it. Here we go. Oh, I'll start. That is a rip snorter.
I don't have any emotional attachment to that song, to be honest.
Just like the sound of it.
It's just a banger. Yeah. Like, Kyle and I are very sort of music. I'm music adjacent. Kaya, like, because of her old man's been playing in bands her whole life. She wouldn't tell you about it, but she still plays.
I forgot to tell you about that.
Yeah. So when we were...
Play guitar, sing.
Guitar.
Yeah, she plays guitar and she sings.
Play bass.
Yep.
Yep. A woman of many talents.
Yeah, more talents than me, frankly. But we were like coming up with a list of like the best songs ever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it was kind of like it. The song has to be like close to perfect, like musically, but also make you feel something to warrant being on the list. There's like different categories, and there was like perfect songs, which aren't always perfect. But make you feel something as well as being close to technically perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the difference between music back then and the way music is now. And everything now has not a bar on it.
Yeah,
yeah, it's modified.
And Layla, like Eric Clapton's Layla, is one of my favorite songs. And if it comes on, I'll just drop everything. Because it is like, you know, very close to being technically perfect, but also just makes me, you know, just makes me feel something.
It breaks emotion.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Chain by Fleetwood Mac or Soul on the Swing by Dire Straits.
Oh, God. Soul on the Swing by Dire Straits is my favorite song. But like that, if that comes on in the workshop.
The need to turn it up. You feel the need to walk, drop tools, if you walk drop over. Turn it up and have that moment of, I'm just going to do nothing except for just get out of my head and just fucking enjoy this moment. That's the type of music that we want to hear on the Lads Podcast. 100%. Yep. That's fucking awesome.
I don't have a cool story for that. I just think it's a good song.
No, that's good.
That is a cool story.
And well, it is.
You like what you like.
Is there any songs over when you're overseas, like as a group, as a, does it, is there anything that camaraderie brings? Is there songs?
So we, the Australian Lions in Egypt.
There's a glint in the eye there.
So the, we got really good Lions in South, but the best Lions, both in North and South Camp, out of the whole multinational force is the Australian Lions. And we don't have a bar anymore because, like, back in the day, like, the drinking culture was a bit bigger in the MFO. It's an operation that's been going for 40 years.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, when you're not working, like, people tend to take a load off. And so our lines are really, really good. But we got a projector. We got a big, you know, big screen that's, like, probably 2.5 meters by 5 meters. And, like, if all of us had a day off, like, it couldn't be all of us because
someone's on.
Yeah, but when most of us were off, you know, you come back from lunch or you come back from dinner because we'd always have like, you know, family dinner, family lunch, whatever, you know, like we had a really, really good crew overseas, which isn't true of everyone, but we did.
Yeah.
And we would, we'd put on Call On Me with the film clip on the, or Destination Unknown because they're sort of raunchier film clips.
Yep.
You know.
That is a great, so.
That's the one with the jackhammers?
Destination Unknown as Jackhammers. Call On Me is the yoga studio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep.
I love it.
So they're both I don't know, what would you like, dance songs from like the early 2000s?
Early noughties?
Pre-2010?
You've reminded me of watching Rage on a Saturday morning. Yeah. I was like 10 years old seeing Destination Unknown dancing.
We'd come back and we'd play those two songs back to back with the video clip on this fucking huge projector.
That was the trumpets, wasn't it?
Destination. That was the trumpets. So if any of your listeners don't know what that is, I highly recommend.
Go onto YouTube. Don't go to Spotify because you probably don't get the best visuals.
No, you need YouTube. You need the video clip. Don't get me wrong, they're good songs, but they're not half the songs they would be without the visuals.
Yeah, that's the go. Oh, mate, I think we're going to wind it up because otherwise we'll just chat all night, which is good, we're going to have to call it.
If you would agree, we'll come to your shed one day.
Have a look at these bikes. And Barney's going to do a pose for the next calendar for, you know, Mr. December.
Straight on the pose.
Sweet. Well, as long as it's not November is my month, so pick whatever month you want.
I'll take April. That's your birthday.
Sweet.
I'm October.
I want to be Mr. April.
We need like someone on a barbecue, like with a big juicy steak. A
sausage.
Shirtless.
Oh, we're already thinking about this year's calendar. Or next year's calendar.
Yeah.
I'm keen for it. You got to come.
Yeah. Creative right minds. You can't stop them.
Exactly.
Right out. We'll get a few others involved as well, so we'll do a calendar. We'll get 12 together.
We'll do a calendar
we'll
do for you guys.
Calendar. Yeah, we'll do a lads calendar.
Yeah, lads calendar.
Done. So jeez, we've got a few characters.
Put that on the calendar. Put the calendar on the calendar.
On the calendar. Lock it in.
How did it get over there?
I took it over there because it was actually in the shot of the video when we changed the studio around.
That's all right. Well, we'll put the calendar on the calendar.
Yeah.
So if you really want to know. On the to-do list.
Yeah, right. But I've actually, before we got to go, actually got to get a shout out to Jamie for putting us in touch with Kai. So 100%. Thanks, mate, for that. Appreciate it. You're a fucking champion.
Another shout out to TC, to Tommy, for getting these coolers made up straight away, quickly. So you guys have got some coolers to take home with you.
Much appreciated.
So massive thank you, Tommy, again, for doing that for us on such a short notice. He did it.
Mate, that was Saturday to now. So if you need anything TC.
Try Sunday morning when I actually.
Sunday morning, was it? Yeah, it was actually, wasn't it? So if you need something done really quick, get onto TC Coolers and they definitely deliver the goods.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, sir. Yeah.
Righto. Well, it's great having you guys on today, tonight. It's been absolutely phenomenal to get to know you guys.
Yeah.
And hopefully we catch up again.
I reckon. It's been good. The pleasure's been all yours.
Yeah. Righto. Well, everyone can say goodbye. Oh, actually, one more shout out for your business. Throttle Moto Co.
All on Instagram.
All on Instagram. Yeah. Anyone out there that's got a Harley, jump on that straight away.
Oh, no. Woo, woo, woo. I actually didn't ask the questions.
Oh, geez, I'm glad you fucking... Have you got some good ones?
Yep.
Should I plug as well, too? If you don't want to message the business page, message Mr. Throttle 63.
Oh, hang on.
There's a Mr.
Yeah,
how come we didn't know about this?
I didn't even look on that on Instagram.
In the bio. With a little wedding ring.
Yeah, we didn't look at the bio.
I got to the TS185ER and just that was it. I was
going to say you stalked the whole bloody page if you went that far. Well,
I went all the way down. I'm like, I won't start. I was like, how long ago was this? I went all the way down and I went, oh, TS185. Oh my God.
I love
and then
that.
Got lost at that.
Right, yeah. So we do actually have some guest questions. So.
Right, I fire them off, mate. Get into it.
It's actually mainly, let's go for both of them actually. So.
You know what you're
doing? Yep. Okay. I do. I'm just scrolling back through.
Yeah, we're
going back through there.
Good things. Okay, so we'll
go with Will first. Best advice you've ever been given? Ever?
Best advice I've ever been given is probably never make a decision in the heat of the moment. Like always think things over before you decide and then act. Like don't just act on impulse. Think about things before
don't
you
act. Don't act on reaction.
So let it cool down a little bit. So
yeah.
Put the idea on ice and, work it through from there. So, Kyle?
I learned that the hard way.
I think we all have, really. Oh. This is why I married you, because you keep me level-headed.
God knows I try.
My best piece of advice would be not to worry about what anyone thinks of you.
Mm. 100%.
I spent years trying to fit in, and after talking to me now for the last hour, I'm sure you realise I'm not like most other women. The sooner I embraced it, the sooner I became happy and everything's fallen into place.
That's really good advice.
And now I'm wildly Instagram famous because of it. So there you go.
And with 45,000.
You lost a few when we got married.
I lost 4,000 people.
Really?
Because
Mr. Throttle came along.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So that was fun.
Is that serious that happened?
Dead set.
Yeah. I didn't gain any or lose any. Oh. It's just flat rate.
Well, I'm going to stalk you tonight.
You gained a bunch when we got together.
People are so finkle, aren't they?
Yeah.
Aren't they? That's shit. So those 4,000 people, you can fuck off. Best advice, Will, ever been given?
Didn't you just do that?
Yeah, we just did that.
Worst.
Honestly, I don't...
don't worry about me.
I honestly don't. Yeah, they're good. They're good value. I don't retain bad information, to be honest. Like, if it's just in and out, I don't remember.
Perfect. Yours, Kaya?
Honestly, I'm pretty much the same.
Yeah, and that would be a good thing, actually. So I'm actually going to cancel this one for me.
Everyone told me not to jump head first with you.
Oh, here we go.
Just because they were like, it's been a week. Why are you moving him in? And I was like, because I love him.
We don't need to get into the politics of our marriage.
Time and place.
No. But at the end of the day, realistically, from that worst of advice, don't listen to what anyone says.
Which when you know, you know, though.
When you know, you know.
When you know,
and look
you
at us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're all right.
Going good.
Yeah, my missus moved in after a week too, so
there's
I couldn't get
wrong
rid
with
of her.
It.
After that.
Yeah. I know she's been trying for the last 4 years.
I have not.
Okay, the other one was the zombie thing, but we cancelled that one. So, okay, Will, you got a time machine, you walk into it, you're going to go back and you're going to meet future Will. not future Will. You're gonna
I've got a few questions.
JD questions.
These 10%ers are rattling you.
Fucking rock me.
You're going to go back in time.
You're going to go back in time to 15. You're going to say you meet yourself at 15 years of age. What are you going to tell yourself?
Oh, I'd bloody tell myself where to find her a few years earlier.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's the only thing I'd change. I'd try and find her years earlier. We only met, how old was I? 26,
27.
Yeah. I would love to have met you in my late teens.
Ooh.
Oh, I think Kai's actually flushing at the moment.
Oh.
A little bit.
Oh, my God, do you like me?
Yeah, well, I wasted me fucking 20s, didn't I?
Good answer, mate.
That
good
is
answer.
So sweet. Yep. So, Kaya?
I can't beat that. That was really sweet.
So if you go back, you either. There's got to be something. So you're back.
Well, I mean, I was a massive ugly duckling in school. No friends, I had no ambitions, no nothing. I'd just go back and tell her to keep dreaming and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's all going to work solid. Out.
Solid advice.
Yeah, you're going to marry a really sexy army bloke and everything's going to be great.
Yep. Well done.
See, I slipped it in.
Oh, good luck to him when you meet him.
Oh, stop it.
That's awesome. I can't wait to catch up at your shed and, yeah, have a few more of these JDs as long as I got someone to drive me there. So,
yeah, you're going to need a Dezo.
Yeah, on these fucking hand grenades.
Yeah, these are fucking nasty.
They knock you around.
You're welcome.
Well, you might have to take the BMW with your tent and, you know, practice your camping.
Camping, yeah. So can I put the tent up inside?
Well, we've got to be awake, 'cause there's plenty
you're not
of room.
Putting the tent up in the shed.
Well, yeah, actually, there is room in the shed.
No. Out of the storms.
Come on.
We're going to pick Cyclone Tracy for you to go out.
Slowly, so.
No, fuck yeah. No. We're going to drop you in the deep end, fucker.
No.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming all this way over and jumping into the lads podcast, into the lads shed. It's been fun. It's been great.
Thanks for
having
us.
So thank you very
us.
Much.
And absolutely lovely knowing you guys.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Like to know you.
All right. If anyone's got anything, any questions or anything going on, just shout us out
just to yourself.
Yeah. Shout us out to the Lads Podcast. And Barney, where can they find us?
TheLadsPoddy@gmail.com.
Yeah, excellent. Fantastic.
No, that's not. They can't even find us there. So we find us on Instagram. These things are fucking rolling. Instagram.
You can call me on my phone. 04.
Yeah, 0408. Something, something,
something. Something. Yeah, no. So how do they find us?
Of C is bye.
On that. Come on, let's go.